I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Ho-ho, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, as we get into hour number three, Braden Soprano, Coach John Contreras, Rich Herrera, the whole gang down here hugging and kissing one another at 97.3 The Fan. Have a great time down here. And we're going to get to a lot of phone calls this hour. We can go a variety of different directions. We can talk college. We could talk NFL. Looking forward to the game tonight. It should be a good game. I like Denver. I like Denver in this game tonight at home. They're playing really good football. They're doing a good job of putting heat on the opposing quarterback. They may get Patrick Mahomes and company tonight. Could be a wild, a woolly affair there in Denver. By the way, there's a college football game tonight. Braden, how about this? You got UCLA and Stanford tonight on Thursday Night Football. We're talking about Friday Night Pac-12. We've got Thursday Night Pac-12.
Yeah, you got a couple games today. You also got Louisiana Lafayette at Arkansas State, too, for all of you that want to watch the Fun Belt at 4:30 on ESPNU.
Hey, did Troy end up winning that game last night? Did you check that score?
No.
Were leading
Troy,
at halftime.
Troy won 37-13. In the Fun Belt.
Yeah, good stuff. But UCLA taking on Stanford. Hey, there was an article today, and I didn't see it, but I had someone tell me about it. UCLA, since Chip Kelly, check this out, Braden. Since Chip Kelly took over at UCLA, there have been 63 players transfer out. Now, not all of those guys have been on scholarship. Some of them have been walk-ons, but 63 players. He's in his second year right now. 63 players have transferred out because, I guess, Chip Kelly likes to hold people accountable. And, you know, you can look at Chip Kelly and say, well, that's not good. He's not, you know, the retention of players isn't good. And, you know, he's not doing things what the players like. Hey, you know what? Tough. That tells me maybe Jim Mora was too light on those guys. And now there's a guy in there that's got a little bit higher standard of rules and asking for some accountability.
Yeah, that's the way you run a good program. I saw that when I, you know, worked with the TCU football team.
Yeah, you
as
worked
well.
With Gary Patterson for a few years.
Gary Patterson did not tolerate any
shenanigans.
Funny business. No funny business whatsoever. It didn't matter if you're a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star recruit. He'll tell you to get lost, and he'll tell you we don't need you. We're going to keep chugging without you if you're not going to play by his rules and play by the rules of the team. And guess what? All the guys that end up staying in that program love Coach Patterson and always come back to visit Coach Patterson out there at TCU. But that's how all the big time programs are run, and all the ones that are good are run. I don't think Saban tolerates a lot of shenanigans.
I don't think so.
I bet you he gets a lot of kids in there they might not want to do their own thing, and I think they're quickly shipped out if they don't want to do the rules set by Nick Saban. And you see the same thing with the New England Patriots. How many guys go to the New England Patriots that are mess up guys that they can't play for any of their team, and all of a sudden the Patriots turn them around into superstars and they abide by the Patriots rules?
They are stand in unison and they march together. Right foot in front of left foot, and they just keep it marching when you play for Belichick or Saban, who, by the way, happen to be best friends. Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? Okay, we're going to get back to your phone calls here in hour number three. We'll get back. I brought this up earlier, and we got a few phone calls on it. But, Braden, your thoughts. The Padres, and I've said it over and over, Jace Tingler's a really good baseball guy. He's a really good baseball guy. But his time is not right to be the manager of the San Diego Padres. If they're not going to hire Ron Washington, they're going to go a different direction. Jace Tingler can't be the hire that we're talking about. And by the way, we haven't got anything from the Padres today, so I guess they're not going to be holding a press conference here in the next 24 hours. But I would expect that to be on Monday. But, you know, again, Jace Tingler, good baseball man. There's no question about him. We're not going to sit here and say this guy can't manage. It's just right now the timing right for our Padre ball club would not be right for him.
He could be the best manager to ever walk this earth, but it's not time for him to be the Padres manager. I need a name. Sell me on a name. And, I like your idea, and I hope it comes to fruition of Ron Washington being the manager for a couple of years, Jace Tingler being the bench coach, and then Jace Tingler taking over. We could see what he could do as a manager once he develops experience and you know, he gets integrated with the San Diego Padres clubhouse. I like that move, especially you know, a little bit better than, you know, other moves of hiring guys that have never been a manager before. But I like the Ron Washington move. I think it's going to drastically help Padres infield that's very talented. Who knows what they could be turned into with Ron Washington behind the helm. And they need a guy that's been there before. He's been to two World Series. And granted, they lost two of those World Series with the Texas Rangers when he was there. But I need a name. I need a guy. It sounds like they're not going to go get a Showalter or Girardi or a Socia. And they're all in on Ron Washington. I'm in on Ron Washington, but I need a name.
All right, let's get back to the phones. You want to dial me up, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter at 973TheFanSD, 973TheFanSD. My personal Twitter account, at CoachContera44. Always enjoy hearing from you great fans out there in our listening audience. Adrian and Sarah Mesa, you're next up with Coach John Contera on a great Thursday. Adrian, how we doing?
Hey, Coach, how's it going? I'm doing all right.
Going well.
Long time no talk.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Hope everything's well in your world.
Yeah, we're doing all right. Doing all right. So, you know, I'm on Instagram here the other day, and looks like a Dan Patrick show. I know how much you just love how the Chargers left San Diego. So I thought of you right when I read this post. It says, the Dan Patrick's reporting that the Rams in the Charger Stadium in L.A. is currently $2.5 billion over the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, the NFL wants the players to help cover their revenue. So my question to you is, do you think the players should take a pay cut to help build the stadium? I think it's a mess, and I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to answer my own question. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. What do you think about that?
Absolutely not. The players aren't the ones that wanted to put a stadium up there. I mean, that's Stan Kroenke and his people. Absolutely. Players are no way, shape, or form should have to be involved in paying for that stadium. Furthermore, you got players that weren't even with the organization when they decided to build that stadium. So, no, that's ridiculous. That's asinine, actually.
Right. So, and then my next thing to you would be, so what happens if they don't, right, they're over budget, right? So we're all assuming it's going to get finished, but if it doesn't, where do the Chargers go and play? And where do the Rams go back to St. Louis? Do the Rams go play at the old Oakland Stadium? If this thing isn't open on time, like what happens with that? What do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think they stay actually where they're at. I mean, the Chargers continue to play in that beautiful soccer stadium in Carson, and the Rams continue to play at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. I think that's pretty simple. I mean, the only other place really I think the Chargers could go would be to the Rose Bowl, and they'd probably have even less fans up there than they have in Carson, for that matter. So how about that?
Yeah, that's a trip. And you know, the Olympics, we have the Olympics in, what, 2028, right? So that makes it a trip if the Rams and the Chargers can't get this stadium built. Well, how does that work out? You know, because you know they're going to showcase the NFL stadium for the Olympics because it's virtually brand new.
Adrian, don't worry. You know what, Adrian? Here's the deal. They're going to get that stadium built. Okay. You know,
okay.
Kroenke may have to not you know, join a couple of golf country clubs that year and pull back on some of his other things he does, but they're going to get that stadium done. And I think more than anything else, I think Kroenke would like Spanos to go somewhere else. I don't think he really wants the Chargers to be a part of that new stadium. So we'll see where it goes from there. But now they'll get that stadium done one way or the other. But having the players take a pay cut, that's ludicrous. That would never fly by the NFL Players Association either. Adrian, have a great day, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, talk to you soon, Coach.
All righty. Yeah, Braden, they'd have even less fans going up to the Rose Bowl than they already have at Carson.
Well, it's funny that Adrian brought that up. I saw that yesterday, and so what the proposal was is they're doing the owners' meetings down in Florida. Currently, the players get 47% of the revenue in the NFL. The NFL owners want to propose an idea of, hey, we'll give you an extra 2% of revenue up to 49%, but they want a percentage of that to go to the NFL the new stadium in LA. Again, $2.5 billion over budget of the stadium that's going to cost $2.5 billion
players
already.
Players had nothing to
so
do with that.
That's a five billion-dollar stadium that's going to cost. And it's not just the Rams and the Chargers player. It's the entire league they want to put in money there. The other thing they're talking about is potentially adding a 17th game. It's kind of like, you know what, we're not going to sell the 18 games. We might be able to get the 17 games, maybe throw in an extra bye week here or there as well. It's a lot of interesting negotiations going down in the owners' meetings. And from what we've been told, it sounds like the owners of the Steelers and the Patriots and the old crew guys don't want to add any more games. They don't want to mess with what they got right now.
16 is
and the
plenty.
new owners like Jerry Jones and like the Cronkies of the world, they're the ones that want the extra games for the extra revenue to come through. But very interesting in the NFL, they're like, hey, well, what if we give you 49% of the revenue to the players, but actually that 2% you're getting is actually going to come back to us to fill in that stadium in LA that we can't afford? Because,
like I said, the NFL Players Association is not going to buy into that. And as far as the 18 games, I knew that was never going to go. I don't think the 17 is going to go. Why would you want to play an odd number of games, first of all? I mean, 16 has been that way for a long time. It used to be 14. Prior to that, it was 12. 16 is great. You got your preseason games. Maybe you want to wipe out 2 weeks of preseason, but I'm not sure the owners would want to do that. But then you got the playoffs. I mean, these people, it's easy when you're walking around in a suit and tie, Braden,
right,
and making these decisions. But when you haven't gone through it as a player or gone down into the locker room after a game and see what these guys look like after a three-hour train wreck, I mean, it's unbelievable. People have no idea. It's like when I was the GM of the Sockers, I'd gone to years for watching Julie V and Brian Quinn and Zoltan Toth and all those great indoor players back in the 80s here in San Diego. I never realized it until I was the general manager and I would go in there after games and see what it was like looking at my players after an indoor game, going into the boards and flying around on that AstroTurf. I mean, these kids take a beating. And the guys in the NFL, it's like a three-hour train wreck each and every week.
I don't want to compare what I have done to the NFL, but I'm telling you right now, the Saturday after a high school football game, I mean, your body felt awful. I mean, I felt like I went through like a war or whatever, but I was sore all over the place in places I didn't know I was sore at. I can't imagine college football the next day, and then on top of that, the National Football League, where everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. The collisions are
unbelievable.
I mean, every single play, and these guys don't feel it during the game because it's all adrenaline. When you play football, you don't really feel a lot of pain because, you know, you're going through. I mean, you feel some pain, but you got a lot of adrenaline going. But the day after, and as soon as you start, you know, coming down from that high of playing, man, is it a rude awakening for your body? And anybody, I know a lot of people out here that listen, played some high school football. Anybody that's never played football before, you have no idea the next day. And I'm telling you right now, I have no idea what it's like to play college football or the NFL. I can only imagine how beat up their bodies are on Monday morning or Sunday morning after a Saturday or Sunday showcase for NFL and college football.
You know, I know Jerry Jones played at Arkansas, okay? He played at Arkansas. I don't think Stan Kroenke's ever taken a snap at center as a quarterback. I don't think Dean Spanos was a hard driving fullback in his days growing up in Stockton. People have no idea what these players go through. I do, because I watched these guys for years here with the Chargers, being in their locker room and watching what they did. And a lot of other guys, a lot of other locker rooms I've been in over the years. And these guys, and you're right, not only at the high school level, but more so at the college and pro level, these guys take a tremendous beating. And wanting to add games, I think, is a bad idea. When we come back, we'll get back to more of your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I do want to talk about the Lakers a little bit. I know it was only preseason, but man, they look pretty good. I'll tell you more about that when we return. Coach John Cantara heading to 3 o'clock today in the Gwen and Chris program right here on 97.3 The Fan. .222, the time on a Thursday. Hope everyone having a great day out there. We'll be back in tonight with our high school football show, 9 to 11. And we'll tell you before we get out of here, we got some special guests in studio tonight. We also have a couple of the head coaches going to join us by phone. And, of course, tomorrow night we'll be up there at Cathedral Catholic. The Gwen and Chris program will be up there on the campus of Cathedral Catholic starting at 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And then yours truly and Braden Soprenant will have the play-by-play. And, again, if you're out and about, you can listen to it, obviously, on 97.3 The Fan. But you can also download the Radio.com app and not only get our Thursday night high school football show, the Friday night football game, but you can also get all of our talk shows as well. We're going to get back to your phone calls. I want to get into the Lakers here a little bit as well, but I'm going to duck in Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, you're next up with Coach John Katara. Welcome to the program today. How you doing?
Pretty good, Sean. Except that you're so lucky. It's getting kind of cold here. I wish I was a bear.
Well, hey, you know what? You can always work on moving out here. A lot of people retire out here in Southern California, Mitch.
I'm not the boss. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
I wish I could be a bear and just sleep for 4 months, because after baseball is over and it's winter, oh, that's how it feels like. Where's Stan Kroenke? Should we take up a collection? Come on. It's like any other business. You can't be – you got to fix it. You have to go right through. He'll get it back in due time. With the Padres, I said I had to go for two out of these three guys I want to mention. Martinez and the two pitchers, Strasburg and Cole, especially Cole. I would think that would help beat Jimenez. They got a new stadium, right? It's a new stadium, 10, 15 years old. Go for it.
Yeah, you're talking about spending another $100 million in payroll.
Thinking, God, it's a tax write-off. I think he's starting to hit behind Manny Machado.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, J.D. Martinez, he's a good hitter. There's no question about that. But he's kind of given ground on defense. I don't think you can pay him $25 million a year.
3 years? I mean, you're paying Myers. I mean, you're stuck with him.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're stuck with Will Myers right now. That's the problem, Mitch. I mean, you can't pay Myers and go after J.D. Martinez and then go after Cole. I mean, between Cole and Strasburg, you're talking somewhere in the neighborhood to probably about $65 million a year for those two guys.
This is Strasburg. Take note, this is his first real good year. And I think he got the shot. I think he had the shot, but they've been waiting quite a while. Anyway, hopefully it's something that happens and materializes.
Well, I hope they're able to get something done. Mitch, thank you as always very much for the phone call. You have a great day, and good luck there in Chicago, or New Jersey, I should say. Gary from Chicago is the one that calls me, and then Mitch calls me from New Jersey, and George calls me from New York. All these guys listen all the time on our Radio.com app. So, you know, we got them all over the place. I love the call earlier. I think it was Rick Braden. So he got into a car in Orange County and our station was on. He goes, hey, that's where the guy went. He's on the air right now. How about that?
Yeah, what luck right there. That's awesome. I just love that almost seems like every car in a car dealership has our station tuned on it.
Yeah, you know, my son-in-law works at Discount Tire. He said, like last week, there was one day where like four cars in a row, he's pulling in and having his guys pull him in, and they were listening to 97.3 The Fan, and he said to the one guy, oh, you listen to The Fan? Oh, yeah, I love the coach. He goes, well, you know what? The coach is my father-in-law. The guy started interrogating my son-in-law while he was buying tires from Discount Tire, but boy, that's a great company, I got to tell you. Hey, I want to get to the Lakers. Now, I know you didn't watch the game last night. You're out and about, and I don't know if you had some girl you were with last night or what the story was.
I'm going to be frank. I went and played men's softball, so it wasn't like I was living it up out there. But it's always a good time at the Poway Sportsplex. No Ello last night. Ello usually plays with us. He was on the IL, I guess.
Was he?
Well, not really. He had a show. Our game was at 7, so he had to do a show. I felt bad for the team we were playing. I got up 3 times in the first inning. But once they figure out how to pitch, they're going to be in good shape.
You guys run roll them?
Yeah, we were up like 20 to – I think we won like 26 to 3 or something like that.
Wow.
And we're not very good either, so it's not like we're out there just, you know. I had to purposely get out a couple times. You know, just to keep the game moving.
Could cost you an opportunity to make the all-league team.
I know. Well, I did hit a triple yesterday, and then I let somebody pass me on the bases just to get to the next inning because it was just no one was going to get any outs. But I told the other team, I was like, hey, guys, I know you haven't been playing very long. Once you figure out somebody that can go out there and pitch for you, you guys are going to get a lot better out here, and you're going to start scaring some teams. They had a lot of athletic kids out there. In fact, one of their players was a Rancho Bernardo football quarterback in like 2011. He had a cannon. had a hose. I haven't seen anybody throw that hard at the Poway Sportsplex, but he threw one from the track and hit the guy one bounce at home plate. It was nice.
There's some pretty good ball players that play in some of those slow pitch softball leagues around San Diego. A lot of good athletes in this town. Okay, I want to get to the Laker game last night. They played at Staples. It was a third of four games they're playing in the preseason against Golden State. Last night they won 126-93. The Lakers now 3-2. They'll close it out tomorrow night up at Chase Center, that brand new arena up there in the Bay Area, and they'll go against Steph Curry and Cup. Now, Curry didn't play last night in this game. They gave him a little rest last night. Kyle Kuzma, who's been out all of preseason with a stress reaction in his left ankle, he's making progress. He's out shooting around, doing a pretty good job. Lakers last night shot 59.8% from the field. They were 15 to 30 on three-pointers. Our buddy Jared Dudley, Braden, he'd been down with a quad, but he played last night, hit two shots, both three-pointers, so he had 6 points in the ball game last night. LeBron last night played 25 minutes, had 18 points, four rebounds, 11 assists. He threw an unbelievable no-look pass to a player over in the corner. The guy canned a three ball. Anthony Davis, 28 minutes last night, only 3-9 shooting. He got that sprained thumb, but he played last night, had 10 rebounds, 8 assists. One of the good things last night was Avery Bradley, who they brought in, who's a lockdown defender. Last night had 18 points, 7-9 shooting. He was 4-5 on three-pointers. That's good to see. And the two big guys to go along with Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, who's a great energy player, last night 12.6 rebounds. And the guy that has really surprised me, Braden, is Dwight Howard. Howard last year, a variety of problems. He had back surgery. He played in a total of 9 games last year with the Orlando Magic. Last night, he played 15 minutes, 13.7 rebounds, and he has really played well during the preseason. Now, Frank Vogel still has some decisions to be made. As of today, the Lakers still had 20 players on their roster. They've got to get down to 15, and it'll be interesting to see who gets cut. But Lakers, I think, are going to be a lot better than people thought. I mean, I really like what I see. The other thing, and I want to talk to Tony about this today, maybe on our crossover if we have time. You know, as well as Dwight Howard's playing right now, I know his first time in L.A. was not good. He was a baby, and they eventually, you know, he went on to Houston. That didn't work out. He's bounced around like a rubber ball the last few years. But, you know, I was thinking DeMarcus Cousins, but then, you know, he tore his Achilles. But I'm going to tell you right now, the way Dwight Howard's playing, I think this is probably a better guy right now for the Lakers than DeMarcus Cousins, because it looks like to me Dwight Howard's still got a little spring and he's got something to prove right now. So if you're a Laker fan, I'll always look forward to taking your phone calls. I will tell you, I've seen Golden State play 3 times. Whew. Going to be a long year, I think, for Steve Kerr. They're going to win their fair share of games. We've got guys like Curry and Draymond Green, but man, Golden State doesn't look real good right now. And again, they didn't play all their guys last night. Curry was out. Draymond Green did play. But I look at the West right now, I think the Lakers got a chance. I really think the Lakers got a chance. The Lakers are going to be a better team than I thought when we heard they were going to get Anthony Davis. Rob Pelinka, I think, has put together a pretty good roster for Frank Vogel. And a lot of it's going to depend on health of LeBron and Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard. But a lot of it's going to depend on if those guys really want to pay the price on the defensive end of the court. When we come back, we'll get back to more of your phone calls. We're going to talk a little college football. Coach John Quintero going to the top of the hour. If you want to dial up, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for joining us each and every day right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .237 going to the top of the hour. It'll be Gwen and Chris. Thanks for tuning in daily to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Again, we'll be in tonight with the high school football show, 9 to 11. And before we get out of here, Braden's going to tell you all the individuals will be a part of the program tonight. We've got 3 different coaches on. We'll preview a bunch of the big ball games. And speaking of preview, how about let's take a little preview tonight of Thursday night football. I think this is going to be a really good game. I love this matchup tonight. You got the Chiefs going into Denver with a 4-2 mark. The Broncos now 2-4. They've won 2 in a row. And, of course, we're going to have that game for you right here. Kickoff on 97.3 The Fan will be at 5:20. Here's the Broncos head coach, Vic Fangio. I'm not trying to parlay or try to keep up with the score with Kansas City. They just got to play one play after another.
Tough not to think that a little bit, but, you know, honestly, this game's about doing your job and everybody doing their own individual job and doing it for the guy next to them. And as long as you... You know, as long as we can kind of keep our focus, you know, right here, and everybody can do that, I think that's the best way to win football games.
I like Vic Fangio. Boy, it's taken him a long time to get a head job, and they started out 0-4, but he's got this team playing pretty well the last couple of weeks. Of course, they came in and took down the Chargers and won again the last week at home, so they'll be ready to go tonight. Here's Coach Fangio on the Chiefs' talented group of running backs. Here's Coach Fangio on wishing that we had more practice time to get ready for this Thursday night game.
It's a short week. You know, it's rare that you do this quick turnaround. Everybody does it once a year. It's hard in that, you know, particularly playing an offense as prolific as this. You know, you'd like to go out there and experience playing against some of their plays, you know, at least a practice tempo. You know, we won't be able to do that totally this week.
Well, Coach Fangio, believe me, he will have that team ready to roll. And, of course, both these teams know one another very, very well, even though the last couple of years they're in Denver. Vance Joseph was the head coach. Here's Denver starting quarterback Joe Flacco saying, hey, let the chips fall where they may.
You know, it doesn't really matter who you're going against and how you think things are going to go. You just got to go play your game and let things fall where they may. It's obviously easier said than done. You know, you always know who you're going against, you know, as a team, and it's always in the back of your head. But I really do think the best way to win football games is to focus on, you know, what you're doing, and everything else will take care of itself.
And here's Kansas City head coach Andy Reid, who I'm a big fan of, talking about quickly trying to fix the problems.
I understand there's a small margin between winning and losing in the National Football League, and so you see this every week. Teams come in and they might not be doing well, and they turn around. It doesn't happen automatically, though. There's got to be hard work here, and we've got to fix the problems. And so as coaches, we've got to do that. As players, we've got to do that collectively. As a team, we have to do that, and we're on a short week here, so that's what we're working on.
You know, some point in time in his career, I'd like to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl. He had that one opportunity with Philadelphia. They got beat. He's had some really good teams now in his years with Kansas City, but just can't grab that brass ring. Hey, let's jump over to a little college football. We mentioned UCLA taking on Stanford tonight, but tomorrow night, Friday night, you've got number 4 Ohio State going to Northwestern. That game's going to be at 5:30 tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network. Here's the head coach of Ohio State, Ryan Day, on Northwestern's influential spread offense.
We used to watch all the films. That was how the spread game started. And we came back and called it everything that Kevin Wilson and Coach Walker and everybody called it at Northwestern. That was like the way to run the spread offense. And so Chip went out and visited them and came back with all the different terminology, and I was like the guinea pig quarterback to try to figure it out, and some games and some plays were better than others. But that was the start of it. And you know, Kevin Wilson was right on the front end of that. And so, yeah, the offense that we were running there, all, you know, a lot of it had to do with Northwestern. There were other teams, you know, I think Rich Rodriguez was at Clemson at the time, and Wake Forest had a part. You know, there was different, you know, versions of it, but certainly Northwestern was right on the front end.
Boy, that Ohio State team really looks good to me, really good. I can't wait for the college football playoffs this year. It's going to be interesting. I do think Alabama and Clemson are still above the rest, but, boy, Ohio State looks pretty good right now, to say the least. Now, Saturday, got an interesting matchup in the Big Ten. You got number 16 Michigan going to take on number 7 Penn State. That's going to be a 4:30 kick on ABC. Here's the head coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin, on creating challenging environment for Michigan.
It's a challenge, there's no doubt about it. Obviously, we're excited to be back in Beaver Stadium. Going on the road and winning is tough. Last week, we had to deal with it. hopefully we can create an environment here that's the toughest environment in all of college football.
Well, they've got a tremendous group there at Beaver Stadium. James Franklin doing a nice job. I got to tell you, he's one of my least favorite coaches right now in collegiate football. He just kind of bugs me in his press conferences. West Virginia going to Norman, Oklahoma to take on number 5 Oklahoma. That'll be an early kick at 9 a.m. on Fox. Lincoln Riley, the head coach of the Sooners on West Virginia, being reloaded this season.
Had a lot of great battles with West Virginia over the years. You know, they look obviously a lot different. New staff, lost some of their kind of their marquee name players here from the last couple of years, but they've certainly reloaded with some talent.
Kansas, Les Miles, they're traveling to Austin, Texas to take on number 15 Texas. That's going to be a 4 p.m. kick on the Longhorn Network. Here's Longhorns head coach Tom Herman on bouncing back from that Oklahoma loss last week.
We can learn from that game and need to improve on, and got a lot of guys dedicated and committed to doing that. And, our biggest goal, we have completely turned the page as a team, and our sole focus, as it should be, is to do everything within our power to beat Kansas.
Number 6, Wisconsin, going to travel to Champaign-Urbana, take on the University of Illinois, 9 a.m. on the Big 10 Network. Here's Wisconsin Badger head coach Paul Christ on excited to be out on the road.
Always excitement to the week, and this week we go on the road. You put a lot of work in, and these players go, you say all off season, but some of these guys have had to wait maybe a year or two to play, so schedule comes out, which games you got at home, which games you got on the road, and you're excited for every one of them.
Wisconsin's got a really, really good football team. That offensive line, tough again. Jonathan Taylor running the ball. Definitely a guy that hasn't been talked a lot about in the Heisman Trophy race right now. You look at Tua, you look at Jalen Hurts, you look at Joe Burrow there with LSU. But Jonathan Taylor, definitely a guy that deserves serious consideration for what he's getting done this year with the Wisconsin Badgers. You've got number 9, Florida, going to take on South Carolina. That's going to be an early kick at 9 a.m. on ESPN. Here's Florida head coach Dan Mullen on South Carolina being a really complete football team.
Talented team. Obviously a team that's got some great playmakers on their offensive side of the ball. One of the best receivers in the league. Run the ball really well. Good offensive front. Able to block. Defensive line. They got a premier defensive line. Some veteran players at linebacker that are great playmakers.
Number 2, LSU, going to take on Mississippi State. That's a 12:30 kick on CBS. Here's Coach O talking about how his team deserves top-tier consideration.
We want to be mentioned and one of the top teams in the country. I want our guys to get higher than, but inside our room, it's about fundamentals, about the task at hand, and beat Mississippi State. But it does do something for your program. That's why you come to LSU. You want the expectations to be high, but you also want to meet those expectations. But that doesn't mean a hill of beans. And you go to Mississippi State and not play well. So we have a lot riding on the line. It's one game at a time. The Mississippi State's in our way.
But I got to tell you, LSU right now looks really good. I mean, Joe Burrow's given them something they haven't had for years, and that's an offense, and definitely one of the top candidates for the Heisman Trophy. Now, you've got Tennessee traveling to take on the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide. That's going to be a 6 p.m. kick on ESPN. Here's Coach Saban on significance of a rivalry game.
Well, I think rivalry games, are interesting to the fans. There's a lot of fans that have a lot of passion about their school, and when you play in rivalry games, I think that passion actually heightens. I think you hope the passion certainly does that with the players who are participating, and hopefully it'll be the case with our team and our players, realizing the significance of this game and how important it is to so many of us internally and externally. And I think it creates a lot of interest. And I know this has always been a big game for Alabama folks and certainly a big game for us.
Good stuff out of Nick Saban. Braden, I'm going to ask you a question here because I made a comment during those. I'm not a big James Franklin fan, the head coach at Penn State. There's something about that guy that just kind of bugs me, okay? And I want you to take Gary Patterson out of the equation because you work for Gary Patterson, have a tremendous amount of respect for him. Who are your? Do you have a couple of favorite coaches in college football? And there are a couple of guys, probably my two least favorite coaches right now in college football, are Tom Herman at Texas and, without a doubt, James Franklin at Penn State.
Well, I'll try to get my biases out of it. Of course, you know, playing for, or not playing for Gary, but working with Gary Patterson, you know, you told me to throw him out of the, out of the loop. But as of right now, you know, he'd probably be my favorite head coach. I really like Nick Saban. I like the, what he does. You know, he's kind of hard nosed, but he has his program to a point where it's like, you don't like him because they win. But you respect them because they win. And I don't like I used to hate Alabama, but now the way they run things and how they do everything, they don't have any players that talk smack. They don't have any guys doing extracurricular things. They're not guys in the media with the press clippings or calling other teams out. They just go and do their business. They just go and they play football. And it's the program they have at Alabama is top notch. So Nick Saban has to be one of my top coaches. You know, I really like Dana Holgorsen when he was at West Virginia. He's having some tough sledding right now, you know, at Houston. I like I'm blanking on his name. I don't know how I could potentially blank on his name. Washington State, Mike Leach. I really love Mike Leach for his comments in the media. But in terms of football coaches, Nick Saban's the quote-unquote bench. I really think Ed Ogeron's doing a really good job at LSU, too. And I love all of his interviews he does. He just ends everything with, go Tigers.
Well, you know, the thing that I like about Saban is a no-nonsense guy. And that's what I love about Rocky Long. You know, I tell a story, and I've done it for years. You know, when Rocky Long was in New Mexico, I was doing the Aztec games. And I used to be in charge each week of interviewing the opposing coach. So, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday, you know, I'd call up New Mexico. They'd put Rocky on the phone, and I'd interview him. And I would always get off and go tell the guys in our sports pit, say, man, I love that guy from New Mexico, Rocky Long. I wish he'd come to San Diego. Well, I eventually got my wish, and Rocky Long's done an incredible job at San Diego State. And, you know, we got to get Rocky on the program. I know he's a man that gets pulled in a variety of different directions, but we got to get him on the program. Big Rocky Long fan. Used to do his talk show for a couple of years, and we'd go out to a restaurant on a Thursday night, and just what a down-to-earth guy. I like those guys that don't take themselves too serious, and they just are there because they love coaching. I mean, Rocky Long's made quite a bit of money in his lifetime. He could be sitting down in Ocean Beach, you know, watching the waves break against the shore, but he loves coaching college football. And the thing that I like Saban, he holds players accountable. That's something that you don't necessarily see all the times with several programs around college football right now. I mean, some coaches look the other way because they don't want to lose that star player.
Again, I don't know, I'm biased to Coach Patterson and everything he's done at TCU, but he gave this speech a handful of times in every season that I worked for him and we were there about how he could care less about, you know, the wins and losses at the end of the year, but how he evaluates his team. He evaluates it years down the road when they come back, when they have families of their own, when they have other careers that are not football, when they're out in the world being good members of society and being nice, you know, young men and men in the community. That's when he really prides himself on his team. He loves when players come back, and it doesn't matter what occupation they may be doing at the time, but when they come back and they say, hey, you know what, I got a new, you know, I just had a newborn son, or I, you know, I'm doing insurance sales, or I'm doing this, and he wants to see how they're doing as a person, you know, more than, you know, just being a football player. And that he gets a lot of guys to come back all the time, year after year, and do things like that. And I believe that's really the true point of being a college football coach, is developing young men, not just on the football field, but on outside the football field as well. And I think the top coaches in college football are the guys that do that.
I wonder if he'll ever leave TCU. He's had a few opportunities.
He's got 4 years left, he says.
4 years left, and then he's shutting it down?
He said 6 years ago, you know, in one of our meetings or what have you. He says it every year, and every year it goes down. He's like, I got that, and then I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'll pass it on to somebody else. But I think eventually he's going to just retire. TCU won't get rid of him because they're at the school. the school is where it's at right now because of him taking the football program to a Rose Bowl and what have you. I mean, I think California students have passed Texas students at TCU now officially. There's more kids at TCU that are from California than are from Texas, which is kind of bizarre, but it's true. And they've built that school, and they're doing so many new projects all around the school. And it's based on the football program, and it's based off Coach Gary Patterson. He gets the coach there until he wants to retire. It's just a matter of when he will want to retire, because I'm telling you right now, he loves coaching football more than anything else in this world.
Yeah, he's a good coach, and I'm a big Saban fan and a big Rocky Long fan. You know, like I mentioned earlier, a guy like Tom Herman and James Franklin, not big fans of theirs. We'll see where their careers go. Herman doing a good job, not a great job at Texas. Believe me, they will not tolerate losing three or four games a year very long down there in Texas. The other situation at Penn State, it wouldn't surprise me if Franklin, because he's done a good job, he may take another job. He's one of those guys that I think is going to be a little bit of a job jumper. We'll see what ends up going on. Okay, let's get right now to our Hang a Star play of the day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
A 97.3 The Fan.
Gets knocked free. Manson recovers. Gets it ahead to send it to Silverberg. Play to Henrique. 15 seconds left in the period. Pump fly to Henrique. He scores! What a play! What a play! Through a small opening, got the puck ahead to Henrique, who just shot it as soon as he got it, and it beats Linus Ullmark to give Anaheim a two-goal lead, 4-2.
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
One of my favorite broadcasters in Southern California, Steve Carroll, on the call last night, and we briefly mentioned it earlier when we were talking with Kevin Dineen, the head coach of the Gulls. Anaheim Ducks win it last night 5-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. The Ducks now 5-2 on the year. The Buffalo Sabres 5-1-1. Centerman Andem Henrique, two goals last night. Getzlaff had a goal. Ricard Raquel had a goal and assist. Jacob Silverberg, a big empty netter to close it out. And John Gibson, who we saw a few years ago here in San Diego, he had 21 saves last night. Tomorrow night at the Honda Center, 7 o'clock, Carolina Hurricanes in to take on the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. They're no longer Mighty, they're just the Ducks. And tonight, up at Staples, the Sabres will skate against the LA Kings at 7:30 again at Staples. And tomorrow night, we've got the Gulls home opener at the Pechanga Arena. So I'll look forward to that. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Braden, you and I are going to be back here tonight, 9 to 11, with our high school football show. Tell everyone real quickly what's on tap.
Well, on tap we'll have both coaches from the Charity Bowl / Holy Bowl. That would be, of course, Sean Doyle of Cathedral Catholic and Joe Kramer of St. Augustine, the two head football coaches. Then at 9:30, we're going to be joined by Coach Drew Wessling live in studio with a couple players from the Hilltop Lancers. We'll also have reports from Drew Cowell in the North County and Adam Paul in the East County, and of course we'll break down all the new CIF rankings, the Union Tribune rankings, Cal Preps, and preview some of the games that are this weekend. We're full of a lot of big league games and a lot of league games that have league championship implications.
And of course we'll also talk about the resignation earlier this week of Commissioner Jerry Schneep and Assistant Commissioner John Labita. This hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is Bubbles. Text Bubbles, B-U-B-B-L-E-S, to 72881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. Again, Bubbles, B-U-B-B-L-E-S, and text it to 72881. For Braden Soprenant, Rich Herrera, Adam Klug, Gwynn and Chris coming up next. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Again, I'll be back in tomorrow at 12 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye. Thanks for downloading the John Cantara Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.